What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Today's show is brought to you by Black Social. That's a black networking app that allows easy ways to stay connected with the people who matter the most. Connect with large or small groups or discover the latest products, trends, or content in your community. That's Black Social, available on iOS and Android. And today's show is brought to you by GiftedAndLit.com. Parents and teachers, you need to order Gifted and Lit. This is a program that uses hip-hop and cartoons to teach lessons, mathematics, science, reading, and much more. Order your copies at GiftedAndLit.com right now. So, family, what we're doing here, we're late as hell. It's in the middle of the night, but the family is still rocking with me. Shout out to all my UK people, all of my overseas people, my international family. I know it's bright and early over there, so we're live for you right now. And what we're going to do, because I got a lot of stuff to talk about, we're going to take a real quick commercial break. And you guys don't move a muscle, because we'll be right back on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
You need to check out the hottest, newest thriller of the summer called Noxious. A Bear's Turn Fatal when a reckless woman confronts her cheating boyfriend. And after a careless mistake, all hell breaks loose and hell has no fury like a woman scorned. Noxious. Passion can be toxic. The movie available right now on Amazon and streaming on Prime. Or go to NoxiousTheMovie.com and you spell Noxious, N-O-X-I-O-U-S, and follow Noxious the Movie on all social media. It's time to get your workout game on and your fitness in order, so you need to go to BlackDragonFitness.com. They have all types of workout and fitness accessories. They have boxing gloves, they have punching bags, they have boxing bags, kick bags, they also have bicycle accessories, they have bench pressing accessories, they have runner's vests, they have fitness watches. They have everything you need to get your fitness game in order. So again, go to BlackDragonFitness.com. You got to get your body looking right so you can campaign correctly. Again, go to BlackDragonFitness.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines. Now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we're back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. Glad to have you guys tuning in. We're doing the late night show, but we are here. We're ready to make it do what it do. Ladies and gentlemen, glad to have y'all with me. Bumping some of that mink slide for those who do not have it. Y'all need to go get that mink slide joint and all that good stuff. Man, there's so much stuff going on, family. I don't even know where to start. Just so much stuff going on. I want to touch on the stuff that's happening in Chicago. I'm going to get into that in just a second, but I wanted to touch on something before that. I wanted to touch on the other day, suspected white supremacist Alex Jones, his pages were banned. He was banned off YouTube. They took him off a lot of other social media sites. They made a whole big thing out of it. They were banning a lot of Alex Jones stuff. And there were some people who were very celebratory about it. And, you know, the whole white supremacist right wing crew, they were complaining about censorship. Now, remember, these are the same people, including Alex Jones. These are the people talking about Kaepernick is a thug and black football players are ungrateful. They need to shut up and play. It's, you know, that whole crowd. That whole crowd. But they banned him from everywhere. Now that whole crew is crying foul. They're crying foul now. And my thing is this. Let's not be too celebratory over Alex Jones getting his stuff banned, because what happens is when they ban a white supremacist or when they do something to a suspected white supremacist, that's a precursor that they're going to use as justification to doing it to us. And understand, they don't mind making a white sacrifice. They'll sacrifice one to get 1 million. And he's a, I wouldn't say a big fish, but he's a pretty known suspected white supremacist, especially in those circles. And, you know, they're citing him for hate speech. And he, you know, we all know what Alex Jones's deal is. He is a suspected white supremacist. He spews a bunch of lies, the Illuminati, the Bilderberg. So he's a known liar. He spreads fake information, misinformation. You know, he's a piece of trash. I mean, he's written several lies about me. I know for a fact he's a liar because he lies about me several times. And, you know, he was going in on the Sandy Hook family, saying that the Sandy Hook shooting was a hoax. You know, whenever somebody white does a shooting, it's always a hoax. It's always the Illuminati and the Bilderbergs and all that shit. And, you know, they decided, okay, we're going to white sacrifice him. But understand, they play chess with these people. Now, somebody in the chat room made a very good point. Many people suspect Alex Jones of being an agent. And these are the other white people. Bill Cooper, who wrote Behold a Pale Horse, he suspected Alex Jones of being an agent. Bobby Hemmett years ago said that Alex Jones was an agent, which I believe. I mean, there's something to that. He's clicked in with law enforcement and the other race soldiers. He's all clicked in. So I wouldn't be surprised at all. And I wouldn't be surprised if this whole thing of him getting banned and all that was orchestrated. I wouldn't be surprised if this was part of a grand scheme. And he's in on it. You know, oh my God, the tyranny, the censorship and the tyranny. You know he's going to be all right. As a suspected white supremacist, he's going to be fine. That's why I was telling people about the NRA. People were talking about the NRA is going broke. The NRA ain't going broke. The NRA is a white supremacist organization. The white supremacists are going to look out for other white supremacists. The NRA ain't going nowhere. They just cry foul. They cry wolf so they can get extra donations, especially this is midterms. Elections are happening. They're trying to galvanize the troops. So they're like, oh, no. Everybody's attacking us and we're going to go broke. We need help. You know, it's a whole scam. They're just trying to galvanize their support. But Alex Jones, he's going to be fine. But the thing is, with all the banning and censoring him and taking him off social media, we got to watch out for that, because when they do that to him, then they're going to turn to us. And all the powerful voices out here in black society, the people out here who are the thought leaders, they're going to start trying to shut our stuff down. And when we point out the racist agenda, that it is or that it's going to be, they'll just say, hey, well, look, we got Alex Jones. This has nothing to do with race. It has something to do with content. We got Alex Jones, and that wasn't about race. You understand? But this is about race, and they know how to make a white sacrifice. So whenever I see a white sacrifice, I always go on alert. Just like with the whole Me Too movement, they were white sacrificing certain people, but just really sullying their name. They didn't really sacrifice them in a criminal way. They didn't really shut them down. They just kind of transferred a few people around, threw a little dirt on their name, and had them sit in the corner for a minute, but they're going to be all right. But then they started targeting brothers majorly with that whole Me Too thing. You understand? So we got to understand how this thing works, and let's not get too celebratory because, again, they'll turn the guns on us. So we got to keep the heat up going in on the white supremacist censoring that goes on. And by the way, my Facebook page is back up. I was banned on Facebook. They were going to ban me for a month, but I know I got some people who kind of made sure that that thing was taken care of. You understand? This is why we got to be connected. This is why we got to have folks certain places to make sure they keep an eye on what's happening. You understand what I'm saying? We got to be strategic like that. We got to have some folks in line. We got to have some folks in order inside some of these institutions handling business. And this should be in every institution. We got to be on that level. We got to have that 300 real tight. And I'm telling you, the 300 is tight. We got to have that 300 tight. You understand? And we got to be on code. You know, in New York right now, you know, they're having protests outside of this nail shop, this Asian nail shop where these Asian women beat the brakes off these sisters. One of the women was a grandmother. They beat these women because they didn't do one of the lady's eyebrows correctly. The lady didn't want to pay the $5. So those Asian women, they got brooms, and the Asian man too. They start beating them women with broom handles. And now this happened in Brooklyn. So now Brooklyn is turned up. They got police protection up there every day. Shout out to Sarnetta. I saw my man Sarnetta up there. He's leading the charge a lot. He's out there letting folks know what's going on. And I got to call Sarnetta. I got to call you. I've been meaning to call you, Sarnetta. I got to call you. As a matter of fact, I might have Sarnetta. I might do a broadcast so Sarnetta can let us know what's going on the streets out there. You see, Sarnetta is putting in work. I take my hat off to Sarnetta. But what I saw, even we see these wannabe white supremacist Asian shop owners just beating ass nonstop. Do you know there's still black folks trying to go up in that damn nail shop? There's still black people, these mammy bunny ruckuses, trying to go up in the damn nail shop. I mean, god damn, what does it take for you to not give these people your money? Black people, we got to get on code. And there were some other photos I've seen of other shops around that area, Asian shops, where people are still going into them. I think it's another shop that those same people own. I saw pictures of protesters telling black people, hey, don't go in there. Don't go in there. My God, they were in the other one. Yeah, there's another shop that those women own, or those Asian men and women own, whoever they are. And there's black people still going up in there. Sometimes I feel like the old nigga in the room. I don't know what's going on with this generation. I hate to sound like that. I hate to sound like the old nigga in the room. I'm just from another era. I just remember back in the day, Latasha Harlan, a black girl, got shot by Soon Ja Do. I think that's her name. This Korean store owner at Empire Liquors. I think that was on Figueroa out here in L.A. They shot that sister. Wasn't no more shop. Soon Ja Do had to get the fuck on up out of town. Ain't no shop. Ain't no Empire Liquor no more. That thing was gone real quick. It's something that's like a Mexican supermarket now. You dig? The sister got killed over orange juice. Shot in the back of the head over some goddamn orange juice. So that shop got shut down. Wasn't no more Empire Liquor. Well, nobody going up in there patronizing nothing. As a matter of fact, you ain't going to go up there, owner, because there ain't going to be no shop when you show up. But the self-esteem, there's a collective self-esteem with some of these ratchets out here. We're going to put it on them. And I will put it on us, too. I'm not going to just single them out because let's look at the ratchets. It's these ratchets that's going up there, and the ratchets and the old mammy ratchets still patronizing these businesses that's shitting on us. You don't have a code whatsoever. It's all about just let me do me. Me, me, me. I don't care if they whoop your ass. I needs my nails done right now. But won't go to the black nail shops. There's plenty of black nail shops in Brooklyn. People have been putting up names and addresses of black nail shops in Brooklyn that you can go to. I don't want to hear no goddamn excuses from black folks unless you live in a neighborhood that just ain't too many black people or any black businesses like that. I can understand, but in most cases, they're not going to be beating on you like that. They're specifically beating on people in the black neighborhood, in neighborhoods that's predominantly black. That's where these ass whoopings are coming from. That's how much little respect they have for us in these communities. And you know why they have little respect for us? Because in those communities, a lot of us don't have respect for ourselves. When you do not have respect for yourself, other people can sense that. So when y'all keep going to them damn shops, you're begging for more ass whoopings. That's why these ass whoopings keep happening. Because they know you're not going nowhere. You're like a battered wife. When that ass gets whooped, you're going to be right there with your flip-flops on trying to get a mani and a pedi and some acrylics with your low self-esteem Negro ass. We got to stop this stupid ass shit with these low self-esteem ass Negroes that are so desperate to be around other people. It ain't even about getting your nails done. Like I said, you can go to many of the black nail salons and get your nails done, but you wouldn't dare set foot in there. You got every goddamn excuse not to go in the black nail shop. Oh, they be acting funny. Oh, man, them prices is crazy. Man, they be taking too long. And you go to a raggedy-ass, funky-ass, one of them little Asian shops. It's not no top-of-the-line shit. These little cheap shops, they're in there talking about you behind your back in their language. And then when you don't pay $5, they knocking you in the fucking head with a broom and you're there the next day. Y'all need to get y'all low self-esteem asses on somewhere with that bullshit. Enough of that. And I saw some other pictures of somebody at the other shop, and it's the hood rats with bonnets on their head and shit. This ratchet thing, ratchets don't like to get on code. Because with ratchets getting on, there's no benefit to them getting on code because white daddy takes care of them anyway. They get their little EBT, they get their little Section 8. So why get on code? I'm getting what I need in life. I'm getting my little food from Zaddy. I'm getting my cable TV. I get enough money to buy me some weed. I can sell my food stamps for bundles. I get my hair, my nails done. Fuck a couple of D-boys, get free weed. I'm good. What I need to be on code for? They out there marching. They ain't got nothing to do with me. Hell, I need me some big ass acrylics on my toes. That's hood rat ratchet thinking. And that's a cancer. And understand, when I talk about ratchets, that's not black women, because a lot of times when you point out the ratchets, they want to hide behind black women. Black women don't represent ratchetness, and I'm tired of people trying to paint the blanket of ratchetness on black women. No, ratchets do not represent black women. And as a matter of fact, at some of the protests outside of that shop, there were some real thorough sisters leading the charge out there. Some real good sisters speaking up and speaking out against those racist-ass Asian shop owners. And what I understand, I heard the other day, there were some brothers talking. They were out there chanting and protesting. And then there were some quote-unquote black feminists who came out there. And they start chanting, let the women speak, let the women. So they went out there and start trying to have a gender divide. This was, some of the female activists were saying this. You had some bed wenches come out there on some gender divide bullshit. Sounds like they were sent out there by somebody. It sounds like they were sent out there by somebody. Because you understand how the white supremacists are very good at sending in black folks to change the narrative. That's what The Root and all of these bedwench ass-kissing moist publications are for. They're there to change the narrative, change the black narrative. They pretend to be black, but these are really gay satellites. They are Trojan horses for a gay agenda. So when we start talking about black issues, all of a sudden somebody from The Root or The Griot or one of these places start talking about LGBT. Or they'll start talking about gender, which will lead into LGBT. They'll start talking about gender, then cisgender, then patriarchy, then feminism, then lesbian. Then they Trojan horse all that bullshit in. But those disruptors are real. And what they're trying to do, speaking of disruptors, with the NFL, we know what's going on with the NFL. People are protesting systematic white supremacy. They keep trying to change the narrative into protesting the flag. But now people ain't buying it because we're controlling the narrative. Understand, this is why it's important for us to control the narrative. They try to control the narrative by making this big brouhaha about the flag. None of this is about the flag whatsoever. It's not about the flag. It's not about the flag. It's not about the flag at all. But the white supremacists understand the importance of trying to control the narrative. That's why we have to continue to control the narrative. And we are. We're not letting them run away with the narrative. We keep bringing up systematic white supremacy within the police force and the whole nation, as a matter of fact. We keep bringing that up. And when football season starts, it's going to be very interesting on how people are going to react to it. And like I said, I think that all the black players should not even come out during the national anthem. They should shut it down. They should shut the NFL down. But what they're going to do, they just announced a couple of days ago that they're going to have, for the first time in the NFL, not black, but male cheerleaders. And you know they're black. It's a couple of black guys they're going to have as cheerleaders / dancers in the NFL. And when I saw that, I already knew what it was. And the photograph that they had in the media, in CNN and all that, it was a black dude with his leg kicked up straight in the air and his arms behind his back, mad moist. So there's already the agenda there. They're going to have moist black male cheerleaders hopping around, booty hole wide open. I'm not disparaging my LGBT brothers and sisters. I'm not. I'm making an observation about what they're trying to do in the dominant society. All right? Because a lot of times if you even mention LGBT people, oh, you attacking us. Not attacking you. Shit's going over your head. The point is what the dominant society is doing. They're using a couple of obviously gay brothers to further an agenda, because what's going to happen is this: when they have these brothers flopping around, prancing around, they're going to be complaints because nobody asked for male cheerleaders in the NFL. Do you understand this? This is chess they're playing. Why would they put male cheerleaders out there. And the minute I heard they were going to be male cheerleaders, I knew they were going to be black. Nobody asked for no male cheerleaders. Nobody. No football fan said, hey, you know what would make this great game real good? A couple of dudes out there really twerking it up. Nobody said that. Gay dudes like male dancers like that. Women don't like gay dancers. Let's think about this. I want y'all to think about this. I'm talking logic here. Who is that really for? Gay dudes don't watch the NFL. Women don't want to watch gay dudes dancing around. The fans don't really want to watch dudes dancing around. So why are they doing that? Why are they putting out something that nobody really requested? And again, I'm not knocking the dudes for dancing, whatever. You like to do what you like to do. But why would they do that? That's because they knew that there's going to be a backlash. When they have those dudes out there, there's going to be a backlash. People are going to be like, okay, what is this? Hey, what is this? We don't want to see these guys. And what they're going to do, they're going to say, hey, you're being discriminatory to these guys. You're being discriminatory to the LGB community. You guys are being homophobic. There's a lot of homophobia around these dancers. They're just trying to dance. And, you know, homophobia is just like racism. All bigotry is the same. So let's talk. Let's have a conversation about the NFL and bigotry when it comes to homophobia. You see what they, you see how they're going to move that over? They're already setting it up, family. This is a chess move. I already know how they're going to do it. They're going to start having a big conversation about bigotry. This is what they're going to do, too. They're going to be like, okay, we need to address bigotry. A lot of us, you know, us at the NFL, a lot of people are complaining that we're not addressing bigotry. And watch, they're going to use the words. Watch the words they're going to use. They're going to use that to change the narrative. They're going to start using bigotry. Because they try to compare, quote unquote, bigotry with racism and white supremacy. Is not the same, but they're easing the agenda. So they're going to say, look, as a team owner, I'm going to address bigotry like homophobia. And they'll talk about homophobia all day. Because then you can slip in some white people and be like, I'm gay and I've been discriminated against. So now they've changed the agenda again. So they'll get all that energy from Kaepernick and all the black people, and then they're going to funnel that into an LGBT agenda. That's exactly what they're doing. Mark my words. That's exactly what they're going to do, and they're going to wink at each other while they're doing it. We got to start calling that stuff out and calling it before it happens. Because they're good at changing the agenda like that. And especially with black people. Because if some NFL players complain, and that's what they're definitely going to do, they're going to start asking NFL players, so, hey, Negro football player, what do you think about the black male, the new cheerleaders, the guys? And the minute they say something like, I don't know about that, well, this guy is homophobic. They're going to start calling these dudes homophobic. They're going to start throwing the bigotry thing at them. If they say anything non-approving, they're going to start labeling them as homophobic. For example, the rapper Travis Scott, he has an album out, and on the album, there was the photographer had a transsexual or something, and the transsexual wasn't on the cover. So now the mainstream media, the suspected white supremacists in the mainstream media, they're trying to kind of paint a homophobic thing on him. They're like, well, why did he remove the transsexual woman? It was a transsexual white woman, I think. Why did he remove the tranny? Is he being homophobic? Is he being intolerant? Just because the man didn't want to have a tranny on his album cover. And we don't even know if it was Travis Scott who had the person removed off the cover. Now, the person looks crazy. Has nothing to do with tranny or whatever. The person looks real weird. But now, like I told y'all before, they're going to be on this thing if black men aren't accepting of transsexuals, then we're the problem. And the thing is, the white supremacists, they work with each other through osmosis, because what they're doing, you know, Travis Scott has that baby with the Jenna girl. Kyrie? He has a baby with her. And understand, his baby's grandfather is Caitlyn Jenner, Bruce Jenner, understand, a tranny. You dig? So it's like, they're going to make Travis Scott, you're going to have to be a representative for the tranny community. You're going to have to use your blackness to represent the transsexual community. You got a tranny in your family, you're supposed to have a tranny on your album, and if you don't, we're going to demonize you. You know, that's the cost of getting some of this rich white pussy over here, nigga. Is it Kyrie or Kylie? I don't know, man. Somebody said it's not Kyrie, it's Kylie. Y'all saying it like I give a fuck. They in the chat room talking about it's not Kyrie, it's Kylie, and I'm just shocked at how y'all think I give a fuck. If I got it wrong, I got it wrong. I don't give a shit. I proudly don't give a fuck what that girl's name is. Shout out to her, but it's Kylie. All right, now, some of you niggas who know that, I'm questioning you. Are you going to be a cheerleader for the Dallas Cowboys, nigga? Why you know that? All right, let me talk to some of y'all niggas who know this. So y'all niggas going to have on your pom-poms and your white majorette boots busting it open at the Rams game. You dig? let me talk to some of my listeners, because these niggas shouldn't really be knowing all that. It ain't Kyrie, it's Kylie, Tariq. Like, what the fuck you doing in my chat room, nigga, knowing that type of information? You're a woman. Okay, some women saying that. There better not be no dudes correcting me on what that motherfucker's name is. You dig? My God. Like, is it moist after midnight around this, bitch? Man. But shout out to Travis Scott, man. Hopefully he'll be good. Hopefully he'll be good. But let's talk about what's happening out here in Chicago right now. Let's talk about what's happening in Chicago. Now, Chicago, as we've seen in the news, there were, 73 shootings, or 73 people got wounded, 10 people got killed just this weekend in Chicago. And a lot of the white supremacists are jumping on this. They're really running with this. Now, understand, all these people have been shot. The hospitals have been flooded with people. People standing outside hospitals. Some people can't even get in the hospital. So many people have been wounded. People are talking about, black society this, black society that. There's no fathers in the home. I've heard some of these white supremacists talking that type of shit. Understand, in all of these shootings that happened this weekend in Chicago, there are no suspects. There are no suspects. Now, understand this. Let's look at logic here. In Chicago, that's a major American city. And just like every major American city, there are cameras all over the place. You have sound devices that can locate where gunshots are. You can hear a gunshot, and the city and the law enforcement can pinpoint where the gunshot is and immediately dispatch people there. You have a big police force already in Chicago. Many of these shootings are happening in the same, four or five neighborhoods. And these neighborhoods, these are, contained places. They are economically locked. Chicago is a very segregated city, so the locations are very contained. So it's not like people are shooting folks and leaving town. You wouldn't know where they are. There's cameras all over Chicago. I just left Chicago a few months ago. There's cameras all over the place. And these are drive-by shootings for the most part. And law enforcement is acting incompetent, like they don't know what's going on. They don't know who's doing it. And I posted on Instagram, there are three determinations for this. Number one, A, the police there are extremely incompetent, which I don't believe. Number two, the criminal element in Chicago are just so sophisticated, they have learned how to evade police. I don't believe that. Number three, law enforcement is working with other groups and they're orchestrating these shootings and killings directly and indirectly. And that makes the most logical sense. We're talking logic here. Let's just talk logic. A few days ago in Chicago, the police there were outed for setting up bait trucks. This is not a conspiracy. This has been filmed. This has been circulating online. Police were going undercover in black neighborhoods, setting traps or trying to set up traps to lock black people up. They would park trucks around different neighborhoods filled with Nike shoes. And if black people opened the truck up to get the shoes, they would try to arrest them. What happened? Some brothers, some activists in the community, they saw what was going on. Something didn't feel right. So they followed these trucks around and they saw what the agenda was. Now, this happened a few days ago. This just happened. So understand this. The police of Chicago are doing covert, nefarious operations undercover in black neighborhoods last week. They're trying to entrap people. They're trying to set up traps for people in the black neighborhoods in Chicago last week. And this weekend, random shootings just going crazy in Chicago. Just random shootings all over the place in these same black neighborhoods in Chicago, where these police were trying to do undercover entrapment stings. You don't think we can't put two and two together? These police officers, quote unquote, race soldiers, they're already in these communities covert. We caught them. We see them. The brothers have outed them. So it's not a leap or a stretch of the imagination to think that they wouldn't set up shootings out there in the community so they can criminalize everybody. We see them doing one nefarious deed. What makes you think they won't do another? They got to fill these prisons up. They got to fill these jails up. So what better way to fill up a jail? You can kill 100 birds with one stone. Well, you set up some drive-bys and then you criminalize everybody. So now they're already talking about, well, we're going to put more police in. We need help on a state level. So now what they're going to do, they're going to start flooding the streets of Chicago with more law enforcement and probably federal people too. That's what Trump said. He's going to send in the feds and all this old shit. So now they're just going to start shaking down everybody for every little thing. So you jaywalking, every little thing. This is a big setup. And what's happening in Chicago, family? It is a purge. This is a purge in Chicago. This is a purge. We ain't talking about conspiracy. These are facts. Melanoid Nation, we put out articles. Go back 2015, showing some of these drive-bys are done by white people who look like undercover cops. We put up video. There was a dash cam video in Chicago. So it was a truck driver had his dash cam on and they caught a drive-by shooting. In the media, they were like a gang shooting in Chicago, but you could see the dude's face and it was a white dude who looked like an undercover cop doing a drive-by. And the thing is, you saw the car he got in. You saw everything. This was in broad daylight. They never arrested that dude. There's no record of that guy ever being arrested. Why? He was a cop. These are facts. This is not a goddamn conspiracy. These are facts, people. This is a purge they're having out here. The purge is real. What they're having in Chicago this weekend is a purge. And my brother from the Advice Show, shout out to my brother from the Advice Show, he made a very good point. Do y'all notice all these shootings in Chicago where 50 folks got shot, 70 people got shot? Do you guys notice that all of these shootings are always on the weekend or they're on a holiday? Have you guys noticed that? All these shootings are always on a weekend or on a holiday. Almost every single time. Let me tell you something. As a former street dude, street niggas don't have weekend days. You don't wait to put in work on the fucking weekend. Street niggas don't have off days. Do you understand me? There's no concept of the weekend. It's not. These shootings are happening on weekends, so that suggests that somebody in law enforcement, on their days off, they come on through, they posse up and come on through, or people from other places, white supremacists, from other locations, they come into town on the weekends, on their days off, usually probably some militia groups connected with law enforcement, on their days off, and on a holiday, they come on and have a little old purge party. That's what that sounds like. These white supremacist militia groups who's connected with law enforcement, just like we saw up in Portland the other day, all those white supremacist militia groups, they have jobs, understand. And many of these people, they work for military contracting places. Look, I'm talking facts. None of the shit I'm saying is conspiracy. You can verify what I'm saying. Do y'all know how many of those people out there in Charlottesville, that Charlottesville riot that they had out there where they were killing people? Google this. Do y'all know how many of those white supremacists had military contracting jobs? Google this while I'm talking. Now, some of them have been outed because people have been recognizing them and outing them. And the military contracting places have been saying, well, oh, yeah, we fired them. Oh, Lord, we didn't know. Oh, my God, we didn't know that they were white supremacists. So we're going to fire. Bullshit. Bullshit. They knew. They're working with the government. I want y'all to Google that. How many of these white supremacists who are out here killing people and shooting at people and beating black folks out there in Charlottesville, many of them have government contract military jobs. They work for military contractors. This thing is real. So these same people on the weekend who work for the government, who work for law enforcement, who work for these military groups, they come on through. That's why it's happening on the weekends and the holidays. Niggas don't wait to the weekend to do a fucking drive-by. I lived in L.A. for 30-something years. You get popped on Monday and capped on Wednesday, nigga. Any day you can get it. Any day. As a matter of fact, weekdays are better. On the street level, the weekends are better because the block ain't hot. Because usually law enforcement comes out heavy on the weekends. So that's the last place you want to put in work. Think about this, family. When you go out on the weekend, the police are really out because they're trying to catch drunk drivers. They're trying to catch people coming out from clubs. So the cops are out heavy on the weekend. Street cats would put in work before the weekend so that the block wouldn't be so damn hot. You understand? So we got to realize what the game is being played out here. That's the purge that they're happening in Chicago. And the fact that they haven't arrested nobody. They haven't arrested nobody. And all of these people have been shot. Understand this. If there were some real rivalries or some real beefs like that, somebody would have snitched already. Somebody would have said, hey, look, I got a beef with such and such. Because understand, when you do a drive-by or when you pop somebody, the point is to send a message not to fuck with you or your block or your crew no more. When you pop somebody or do a shooting or hit somebody's block, the whole purpose of that is to let them know, don't fuck with me. So low key, you want to know You want them to know that you did it. And the thing is, somebody would have snitched. Somebody would have said it was John them. It was Tay-Tay. It was somebody would have snitched already. The fact that they don't have any suspects, nobody's been arrested for all of these shootings, 70-something shootings in a major city where there are undercover cops already. There's cameras all over the place. There's sound devices that can locate shootings. You got informants all over the place and nobody got arrested? Bullshit. Law enforcement and the white supremacists are 100% behind that, and we have to control that narrative. We have to put that narrative out there, family. We got to stop letting them tell us, well, y'all blacks just need to get it together. Because then we start talking that, man, we be tripping. We need to stop. We need to do better. We need to get our community together. We start talking that dumb shit, and y'all keep talking that shit. They're going to use that to justify harming all of the innocent black people of Chicago. And that's the trick of the game. They really got you when they can go in there and purge you and blow you away, and then you blame yourself. And then when everybody's in jail, we sitting there blaming ourselves like, damn, man, these niggas messed it up for everybody. No, this was orchestrated by the white supremacists, and you have to call that out. And y'all have to say it like I'm saying it and stop being scared. See, black folks have this fear of calling out white supremacy. What y'all scared of? You got nothing to lose. Let's stop being scared of calling out white supremacy. Just like when black folks, when your family members get killed, the first thing they jump out in front of a camera, well, this ain't about race, this is about justice. Because you think you're about to get a check somewhere. And you just shot yourself in the foot by saying that stupid shit. Stop being scared to call it white supremacy. And you let people know. I suspect that there's a white supremacist agenda behind this. You don't underestimate these people. The niggas who do drive-bys like this, they're not sophisticated, eloquent shooters and criminals. There's no way niggas are getting away with doing no shit like that. And understand this. In Chicago, some years back, there were a gang of dudes that were about to do some attacks outside of the black community. They were about to launch some attacks on, like, the suburbs of Chicago. They were about to do some other shit. And right before they did it, all of them niggas got arrested. That shit got shut down real fast. Now, why is it that all these drive-bys and shit happen in black neighborhoods? All the black folks get shot and the cops don't know nothing, but the niggas talking about going into another neighborhood, doing some damage, all of a sudden, they get caught. You dig? Because understand this. They got something called a stingray. There's a device called a stingray phone tracker. And what they do, they can go into a neighborhood and let me explain how they do it. When you have a cell phone, your cell phone looks for a signal from the nearest tower. A stingray acts as a substitute tower. So if you go into a certain neighborhood and somebody dials a number around that stingray, it will send a signal that will direct the phone cell signal to the stingray so they can monitor the calls. And they can do whole neighborhoods like this. They can just go in a van with a stingray and they can divert all the routings of those phones to that one stingray. And it's very simple to do. It's very, very simple to do. So they can sit up in a van and just monitor what's being said on the phone. They can monitor who's saying what. They can do all that in a van parked somewhere in Chicago in the cut in an alley. I want y'all to Google what I'm saying. Google the stingray. This is something that's relatively, the stingray is a small device. It's not a big device. This is something they can do with ease. So if I know this, you think they don't know this? Yeah, the FBI do it all the time. And they do it to me too, by the way. You know, at my house, I come home and I see, like, down the street, all types of vans and shit. Which I know they're monitoring my ass. And FBI, feds, I know y'all monitoring me. I ain't doing nothing. That's why I don't trip. I come home, I be seeing flower vans just park real funny style up the street. Just put FBI on your shit. Just put FBI on your fucking van. Don't play dumb. You know what I'm saying? I come home and it's like pest control. Come on. Just go ahead and put the Alphabet Boys on the van. I know what it is. I ain't tripping. Y'all monitor me. Ain't nothing happening over here. Just y'all come help me babysit these fucking kids if you're going to be outside the house. Help me change some of these diapers. Shit. But I promise you that's what they do. They got them stingrays in black areas, so they know what's going on. They know what's being said on the phone. That's why the minute somebody talks about doing something outside the hood, all of a sudden that door is getting kicked in. You understand? You talk about putting in some work outside the hood, that door gets kicked right on in. All of a sudden, that pizza delivery van parked across the street, all of a sudden three of them boys jump out and then a helicopter fly over. You understand? But there's a reason why they got them. They got bait cars. If you know they have bait cars all over the neighborhood, so you know they got other shit. If they got bait cars with vans of shoes on them, and they just got caught. That's what they got caught doing. They got caught doing that. So you know they got other operations going on. This is why I know they know what's going on with these shootings. They're not incompetent. They're in on it, family. This is a purge. This is just a purge, straight up and down. This is why we got to be on top of our game, family. And let me talk to black folks. Let me talk to my family. I was looking at, Basketball Wives the other day, and there was one of the sisters, what's her name? Malaysia or something like that. Beautiful sister. She has a son, and she was like, I want to talk to my son about, you know, the police and how to, you know, what's going on. Don't wear your hoodie in the store and all that. And then they had her talk to a police officer, and they got this dude, I think he's from Arkansas, this white cop named Officer Tommy Norman. Have you guys heard of him? Have you guys heard of Officer Tommy Norman? He's all on social media. I think he's in Little Rock, if I'm not mistaken. But he's this white cop who plays, you know, Mr. Nice Guy. He goes to black neighborhoods, playing with the black kids, jumping rope with the black kids, dancing with the black kids. I think he has a black wife, mixed kids, and Negroes prop this dude up. Google that. Just Google Officer. Yeah, he's officer friendly, but Officer Tommy Norman, that's his name. And he's, you know, they black people really promote him a lot on social media. Black people promote him a lot on social media. The rappers, they prop him up. And black folks treat this dude like white daddy Jesus. And I posted something on my Instagram, and I left it vague deliberately. I left it very vague. I said, this guy right here, Officer Norman, he's very dangerous. And I left it at that. I wanted my woke folks to understand where I was coming from. And then I had a lot of coons and mammies and bedwinches. What? He good people. Why is you talking about him? Fuck you. I ain't gonna follow you. Oh, these niggas were having hissy fits over white Zaddy. Niggas were having hissy fits over Zaddy. It's a lot of sisters on his gram. A lot of these wannabe bedwenches on the gram caping for him. And they were in my mentions going off on me for even criticizing Zaddy. How dare you? He is good peepers. And understand, black folks, caping for that dude, you're a goddamn idiot. That Officer Norman dude, that's an old school hustle. That's the good cop, bad cop hustle. And we keep going for the same hustle over and over again. They always have the bad cop, the mean cop, and then they'll trot out the good cop. Oh, I'm not like the others. And black people eat that shit up. Just because y'all parade a white dude out here who will jump rope with you, hug on you a little bit, treat you nice, all of a sudden, you bowing down and turning him into a messiah. Why? Why, black people? Why? Why are you praising this dude just because he's nice? He's supposed to treat you like he got some damn sense. You don't make somebody a messiah for doing what they're supposed to do. But the white supremacists, they understand their victims very well. White supremacists, they understand their victims, and they know the Achilles heel of their victims. They know what black people want. They know what our weakness is. They know that black people have a weakness to be loved by white people. They understand that more than anything. The white supremacists understand very clear that black people have a deep, deep desire, a need to be loved by white people. They know that a hug and a kiss and just a little nice behavior will just make black folks melt. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to produce any kind of justice. You just go around black folks and just be nice, talk nice, use pretty words, and not really give a shit, but just be nice. Give us some hugs, a couple of attaboys, and you got us locked in. And we fall for it. Why in the hell are you going to take your kid to Officer Norman when you want to discuss white supremacist killings and within law enforcement? Think about this. And black folks listening, what is Officer Norman going to do? Why? That's the last person you need to talk to as far as these white supremacist race soldiers blowing our brains out. What are you talking to him for? Well, we're going to talk to Officer Norman to show you that all cops aren't bad. What the fuck y'all mean all cops aren't bad? What does that do for the ones who have joined the force for the sole purposes of blowing our brains out? What does that do against them? What kind of bullshit is that? And black folks, go for it. I don't want to talk to a nice cop and you have a bunch of damn neo-Nazis on the law enforcement roll and I'm talking to him. What am I talking to him for? What are you doing about these race soldiers? If you ain't doing nothing, you're wasting my time. And that's what they're doing with this guy. This Officer Norman dude, he should know better. He know how black people are in a childlike state, so he's just capitalizing off of it. I don't feel nothing for this guy. I don't give a fuck about Officer Norman. He follows me on Twitter, by the way. And Officer Norman, if you're listening, because I'm not like the self-esteem Negroes out here that you're capitalizing off of. Officer Norman, if you want to help black society, Mr. Good Cop, Mr. Double Dutch with the kids, Mr. Do the Dougie with the babies, Mr. Hug and Kiss the Negroes, if you want to do something for black society as a good cop, let us know who the fucking Nazis are on the police force. Let us know who the white supremacists are on the police force. That's when I give you props, my nigga. Let us know who the damn alt-right is on the police force. That's when I'll give you a high five. Let us know who the Richard Spencers are and the white supremacist Proud Boy groups in law enforcement. That's when I'll take you to the barbecue. But if you just want to double dutch and dance and eat a couple of biscuits, take that shit on somewhere. You that's nothing for me. You're not helping black folks at all. You're more harmful than ever because you lull black folks to sleep. Understand that if I'm around somebody in the dominant society and they acting all nice, but they ain't letting me know who the real races are or who the hardcore white supremacists are who's going to harm me, God damn it, you're complicit. You are complicit. It's the whole missionary mercenary thing. It's the whole hustle all over again. It's that missionary. They go in as missionaries, acting like everything is cool, acting like they're not like the military. They've been running that same game on us for 500 years, just like in Africa. When they went into West Africa, the Portuguese and the Spanish, when they went over there to Africa, they went in as missionaries first. They came in like Officer Norman. They came in dancing. They came in, hey, look, I see you guys are spiritual people. I'm a spiritual person too. I believe in the word of Jesus. You remember Jesus? Let's talk about Jesus. And then when the military started coming through, the missionaries tried to pretend that they weren't like them. Oh God, those guys are awful. Look at what they're doing to your land. They're burning your crops. They're scorching the earth over here. They're depleting the resources. I'm not like those guys. I'm a good guy. All of us Portuguese aren't bad like me. I'm not like, I don't have a gun. I don't have a sword. As a matter of fact, I can bring you food. I got food for your village. And then black people started to lower their defenses, not knowing that that damn missionary was right in concert with the goddamn military. They all work together. They always send in the missionaries first to pacify you. They always do that. And black folks fall for it every single damn time. They go in there and let the military know, okay, this is the blueprint, this is the plan, that's the chief, this is where all the minerals are, this is where all the resources are, this is where all their weapons are. So they come in and decimate us, and those same missionaries are standing around like, oh my God, man, let me help you rebuild. They're still there, and we haven't caught on that they're on to the whole scheme. Just like with these marches today, when you see these marches, these white people out there marching with you, you go to all these marches. I want y'all to look around. When you see these marches from Mike Brown and Freddie Gray, it's more white people at these marches. When they had the march for the sister who got stabbed by the white supremacists up there in the Bay, it's more white people at the marches than anybody. And understand, those same white people at the Mike Brown march, at the Trayvon Martin march, those same white people will go into a courtroom and acquit a race soldier for killing you. They'll go in there and say, not guilty, let that race soldier back in the street, and then go and get a Black Lives Matter sign and have their asses right back out there. Black Lives Matter! They'll be out there screaming it the loudest, and black folks ain't caught on to that shit. Think about it. Why are all these people in the dominant society at these marches, but they're never in the courtroom? All these people who are about justice for black folks, they're at these marches all day, but they're never in the courtroom. Let's look at another example, Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders loved talking about how he marched with Dr. King. Oh, I marched with Dr. King. I marched with Dr. King. Yeah, he was out there at one of them marches. But when you say something about some reparations for black folks, then his face started getting twisted up. Well, damn it, if you were all about Dr. Martin Luther King, Dr. King wanted reparations for black people. Dr. King spoke on reparations for black people. So what you talking about, Bernie, with the What you talking about? I'm not impressed, black people. Stop being impressed by people being at a damn march with you. They're there to get intel on you. That's why I don't trip on them damn marches. Fuck a march. The white supremacists will be out there marching with you, acting like they're your friend. They tried that out here in L.A. They tried to come out there and act like they were friends of black society, and black people caught on. I want y'all to study how it went down at Maxine Waters' spot. I know I bring that up a lot, but I want y'all to see how you're supposed to handle these dudes. This one white supremacist came out trying to be covert, acting like they were down. We just want to get some information. You know, we want to get your side. And Brothers was like, hey, man, you look funny. Get the fuck off this block. Get off this block, man. You one of them. You don't smell right. Get off the block. And ran them up out of here. And what's funny, one of those white supremacists that they ran off the block out here in L.A. who tried to come in covertly, I saw them at that rally up there in Portland, standing right along there with the Proud Boys. I saw that same white supremacist at that Proud Boys march up there in Portland with the Proud Boys. So the brothers were right. He was down with them white supremacist groups. And you got to shut it all the way down. that's the thing. We're trying to find some people who ain't like the others. No, we gotta be like the people of North Sentinel Island. The people of North Sentinel Island, they were like, fuck a missionary. And like I said, we talk about North Sentinel Island a lot. North Sentinel Island is an island in the Indian Ocean. It's a small island full of black people. They've been there for 60,000 years at least, and they've never been colonized. Why? Because anytime a colonizer tries to come there, they kill their ass on sight. They kill them on sight. Now, they come up there and try to finesse them. They've sent missionaries up there. Back in the 70s, they went up there with some, what'd they bring? I think they brought some bananas and a pig as a gift. Oh, it was bananas, some kind of fruit. I think it was bananas. They went up there and like, hey, you know, hey, we good. We just want to talk to you. We got you a gift. We got you some bananas. We got you some food. We got you a pig. And this is an offering. They threw away the bananas and they killed the pig and buried the pig and be like, they said, you're going to be just like this pig if you don't get the fuck up out of here. They sent coconuts. I'm sorry. It wasn't bananas. It was coconuts. They sent coconuts up there. And they were like, get this bullshit the fuck up out of here. Nigga, that pig was running for his damn life. Like, that pig was like, get me back on the fucking boat. These niggas is crazy. They're like, get that shit up out of here. We don't want nothing from you. North Sentinel Island. They make those King Kong movies really based on that island because it's the white supremacists, they've never inhabited that island. They can't. You can't go there. And those brothers over there were smart enough not to let them go for the Yoki Doke, not to let them pull the wool over their eyes. You dig? Yeah, they took the coconuts and ran them off. But we got to understand, just because somebody's being nice to you, that doesn't mean that they're not going to maintain white supremacy. We got to get that. We got to get off this thing where people want to hug and kiss on us, and we think they're going to finesse the racism away or bring justice by just finessing us. If they are not punishing race soldiers or white supremacists for harming us, they are complicit. I want y'all to get that concept in your head. If they're not about punishing these people, they're complicit. We got to stop just looking at white supremacist love as the end all be all. Just because somebody has a black wife or just because a white woman has a black husband. I was watching 90 Day Fiancé and I saw the trailer. I want to see the episode. But there's this hillbilly ass white lady. I think she's from Georgia on 90 Day Fiancé. So this woman is a Trump supporter. I mean, she's like one of them. This is a hardcore Southern Trump supporter, suspected white supremacist female down there in Georgia. And understand this, outside of Atlanta, Georgia is a racist ass fucking place. You got places like Forsyth County, places where black folks, they openly tell you black folks can't live in parts of Georgia. And speaking of Atlanta, the new episode of Ism Radio Travel Show will be up tomorrow. I posted a small clip on Instagram, but the full episode is like 45 minutes. It's a great, 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 great episode of us down in Atlanta. We had a ball in Atlanta, man. And you guys, if you like the New Orleans episode, you're going to really love the Atlanta episode. It'll be right here on my Tariq Radio page. So everybody, if you haven't subscribed, right now, while I'm talking, if you haven't subscribed to this page, everybody subscribe now. There's the subscribe button is right there. Go ahead and push that button. Subscribe if you're on YouTube right now while I'm talking so that you can get notified when I'm doing the show. But everybody hit that subscribe button right now. But this woman, somebody said she was in Rome, Georgia. So the woman, this Trump supporter, she was in Georgia. So she got a dude in Nigeria. So she went over to Nigeria. She got this black brother from Nigeria. And I guess she's going to bring him over here, whatever. He's about to finesse her ass. So she goes over there. And this is very interesting. In the commercial trailer for the show, she goes over there and puts a Trump t-shirt on this dude. and she puts on a Make America Great Again hat and then makes him take pictures. And his coon ass is up there giving the thumbs up and he's bucking his eyes. And that just shows you how nefarious these white supremacists are. They'll lay up with you. They'll do anything. They'll fuck you, suck you, and all this old stuff, but they're still going to be team white supremacy. They still got their little Negro fetishes, and the thing is, once they get around somebody they're about to sexually dominate, they want to let you know, okay, let me make you bow down to white supremacy. Let me make sure you're going to be a good coon if you're around me. You're just going to be a plantation buck once you're around me. So they're turning that Nigerian brother into a coon already. And that's what they do. That's the carrot they dangle. They're like, okay, we'll get you out of your poor village over here, and we'll take you somewhere where you can eat good every day. You can work as many jobs as you want to work. Now, you're not going to be like those other Negroes, those other angry African-American Negroes. You're not going to be like that, are you? No. You're not going to be like that. You're not going to be protesting racism. As a matter of fact, you come over here, you're going to be wearing this Make America Great Again hat. I have no problem doing that. You know, they have no problem being a coon. Because that's what systematic white supremacy does to you. It creates systematic deprivation, and then you do anything for money. But we just got to understand how this desperate need for white approval is a very bad Achilles heel that we have, and we got to get that out of our system. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. It's a lot of y'all. It's a couple of thousand of y'all in here tonight, man. Y'all in here heavy in the middle of the night. It's damn near 2 o'clock in the morning right now. So it's like 5 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. Where my overseas people? What the hell are y'all doing up this late, man? What are y'all doing up this late? But anyway, man, I appreciate you guys for staying up with me, man. Go check out the Mink Slide. I'm playing. This is the instrumental from one of the songs on the Mink Slide album. This is My Desire that I'm bumping. Y'all need to get that Mink Slide album. Minkslide.com. Get it on iTunes. Get it on Google Play, ladies and gentlemen. And also the Ism Radio Lookbook, the coffee table book from Ism Radio. You guys can get that at IZMRadio.com, ladies and gentlemen. Get that book. Very good lookbook. It's a collector's edition to see my lovely co-host, Miss Bree and Miss Layla. All right, guys, I'm going to holler at you guys Sunday or before. I might do something before, but we'll see. I'm going to holler.